Division of labor. A serious and perhaps unsuspected hindrance to the success of the truth is to be found in our churches themselves. When an effort is made to present our faith to unbelievers, the members of the church too often stand back, as though they were not an interested party, and let all the burden rest upon the minister. For this reason, the labor of our most able ministers has been at times productive of little good. The very best sermons may be preached, the message may be just what the people need, and yet no souls are gained as sheaves to present to Christ. In laboring where there are some already in the faith, the minister should at first seek not so much to convert unbelievers as to secure his army of workers. Let him labor for the members of the church individually, seeking to arouse them to gain a deeper experience themselves, and to work for others. When the members of the church are prepared to sustain the minister by their prayers and labors, greater success will attend his efforts. I saw that nothing lasting can be accomplished for churches in different places unless they are aroused to feel that a responsibility rests upon them. Every member of the body should feel that the salvation of his own soul depends upon his own individual effort. Souls cannot be saved without exertion. The minister cannot save the people. He can be a channel through which God will impart light to his people, but after the light is given, it is left with the people to appropriate that light, and, in their turn, let it shine forth to others. The minister should not feel that it is his duty to do all the talking and all the laboring and all the praying, but he should educate workers in every church. Let different ones take turns in leading the meetings, and in giving Bible readings, and in so doing you will be calling in to use the talents which God has given you, and at the same time educating workers. In some respects the pastor occupies a position similar to that of the foreman of a gang of laboring men or the captain of a ship's crew. They are expected to see that the men over whom they are set do the work assigned to them correctly and promptly, and if occasion shall require it, only in case of emergency are they to execute in detail. The owner of a large mill once found his superintendent in a wheel pit, making some simple repairs, while a half dozen workmen in that line were standing by, idly looking on. The proprietor, after learning the facts so as to be sure that no injustice be done, called the foreman to his office, and handed him his discharge and full pay. In surprise, the foreman asked for an explanation. It was given in these words: "I employed you to keep six men at work. I found the six idle, and you doing the work of but one, and your work could have been done just as well by any one of the six. I cannot afford to pay the wages of seven for you to teach the six how to be idle." This incident may be applicable in some cases, in others not. But many pastors fail in not knowing how, or in not trying, to get the full membership of the church actively engaged in the various departments of church work. If pastors would give more attention to getting and keeping their flock actively at work, they would accomplish more good, have more time for study and religious visiting, and also avoid many causes of friction. Some, through inexperience, will make mistakes, but should be kindly shown how they can do their work better. And thus you can be educating, until you have men and women of experience in the cause of God, who can bear responsibilities, and who will be prepared for the good work that is suffering so much for the want of laborers. We need men who can take responsibilities, and the best way for them to gain the experience they need, is to engage with heart and mind in the work.